The headlines: the U.S. Federal Reserve Chairman cautions congressmen against gaping deficit. China's quake rescuers face a chilly night as death toll nears 600. And Iran demands objective guarantees for a nuclear fuel swap.
That to put the fuel under the supervision and the custody of the IAEA in Iran.
It is 6 a.m. in Beijing, China, and 6 p.m. in Washington, D.C. This is Press TV's World News.
Many thanks for joining us. The Federal Reserve Chairman has warned the U.S. lawmakers against a growing deficit in that country. Ben Bernanke says a credible plan for reining in deficits could help long-term interest rates and raise consumer confidence. Bernanke was testifying before the Joint Economic Committee of Congress. He said the country's fiscal problems will require difficult choices, but postponing them will only make him more difficult. The warning comes a day after the Commerce Department said the trade deficit rose to around $40 billion in February. The Fed chief expressed particular concern about a recent jobless data. He said a significant amount of time will be required to restore some 8.5 million jobs lost during the past 2 years.
Elsewhere, Chinese rescuers have pulled out more than 900 people from ruined buildings after a powerful earthquake struck the western province of Qinghai. At least 589 people have been killed and more than 10,000 have been injured in the Tibetan Plateau. Here's more.
The 6.9 magnitude earthquake in the ethnic Tibetan town of Yushu was followed by several aftershocks early Wednesday morning.
Up until now, we have recorded 5 aftershocks that measured above 5 in magnitude. People should watch out for aftershocks measuring at least 6 in the next couple of days.
Many children trapped under the ruins of school buildings are among the dead. Some taller buildings reportedly withstood the quake, while officials say over 85% of the homes near the epicenter collapsed. The government has allocated around $30 million for rescue efforts and has dispatched hundreds of troops to the disaster zone. President Hu Jintao has called for all-out efforts to save as many people as possible. Weather experts are predicting strong winds in the coming days, which could create problems for rescue workers. Over the past decade, Qinghai has experienced more than 50 earthquakes measuring above a magnitude of 5 on the Richter scale. In 2008, a massive earthquake struck the neighboring province of Sichuan, killing close to 70,000 people.
The Iranian capital of Tehran is preparing to host an international conference on nuclear disarmament this weekend. Iran's deputy foreign minister and secretary general of the summit says officials and experts from over 70 countries are to participate in the two-day event.
Taking part in this conference. This is a process. This is not a project, because somebody thinks that, well, this is just to overshadow what's going on in Washington. We don't really look into that in that manner. This is a process. This is the conference number one. We would continue to send this very strong message from the capital of Iran, Tehran, the center of the Middle East, that nuclear weapons should have no place at all in this very sensitive part of the world.
Meanwhile, Iran's ambassador to the Netherlands says the conference will also address globalization of the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty and the legal consequences of threats to use nuclear weapons. Kazem Gharibabadi reiterated that the participants in the Tehran conference will also discuss the need for avoiding double standard in dealing with countries over their nuclear activities. Gharibabadi added over a million Iranians and hundreds of medical centers are using radioisotopes produced by Tehran Research Reactor, and the Islamic Republic, of course, cannot wait for the West to provide the fuel it needs.
In related news, the head of Iran's Atomic Energy Organization says Tehran will accept a nuclear fuel swap only after the West wins back its trust and gives it an objective guarantee.
Iran's concern lies in previous violations of trust. Ali Akbar Salehi says in the years following the Islamic Revolution in Iran, the U.S. received $2 million to supply an Iranian research reactor with fuel, but none was delivered. The money was not returned either. Salehi says France has also kept Iran waiting for a delivery that was paid for 31 years ago.
We already have in France about 50 tons of uranium that belongs to us. We have paid the money for that, but it's been for 31 years that they have kept the fuel, unfortunately, and for no reason they are not giving us the fuel that belongs to us.
Naturally, these unsuccessful deals have made Iran less inclined to send its fuel outside the country for enrichment, as suggested by a UN-backed draft that Western powers such as the US are trying to pressure Iran into accepting. Even so, Ali Akbar Salehi says Iran has not ruled out a fuel swap, but insists the West has not done enough to gain its trust to fulfill likely future commitments.
Unfortunately, they have not been able to respond to our needs for the objective guarantee. In other words, they insist that the fuel should leave the country, not the fuel, I mean the uranium 3.5% should leave the country, and then the country should wait for, like, until they prepare the 20% enriched fuel.
Ali Akbar Salehi says Iran needs 1.5 kilos of nuclear fuel every month and has already produced 5 kilos of it. This fuel is needed to make radioisotopes to treat more than 850,000 cancer patients in Iran. The fuel supply at Tehran's research reactor will have to be replenished soon. That's why Tehran says it cannot wait forever and will produce the fuel itself if the West refuses to deliver yet again. According to the head of Iran's Atomic Energy Organization, there is only one way Iran can get the assurance it needs.
And the only way that we think that the objective guarantee can be materialized or realized is that to put the fuel under the supervision and the custody of the IAEA in Iran, okay? And then once we receive the 20%, then they can take back the 1,000 kilo of 3.5% enriched.
On the other hand, the U.S. and its allies have also demanded Iran gain their trust. They accuse Tehran of seeking nuclear arms and demand Iran halt its nuclear enrichment program to give them the assurance they want, threatening to move to the next step if Tehran does not comply. However, the grounds for their mistrust are still stuck at the level of a hunch, much like the one that paved the way for the invasion of Iraq. The accusations leveled at Iran have not been supported by the IAEA, which is responsible for monitoring the nuclear activities of its member states. Tehran says its nuclear energy program is for civilian purposes only, and numerous reports by the UN nuclear watchdog have found no reason to doubt this.
Iran's foreign minister has strongly criticized the United States president for what he calls threatening with a nuclear attack.
Obama's recent remarks were deeply wrong and immature. He's playing with fire. The U.S. president is going to face a checkmate in the international arena if he doesn't pay enough attention to his new moves.
Barack Obama has said Washington will not attack NPT members with nuclear weapons, except those who do not live up to their obligations. The U.S. has repeatedly accused Iran of violating its obligations as an NPT member. Foreign Minister Moteki also commented on the upcoming nuclear disarmament conference that is to be held in Tehran. He said the gathering will display the global will to bring about disarmament in the world. Iran has filed a complaint to the UN over Obama's remarks, saying threatening other nations violates Article 2 of the World Body's Charter.
Well, Russia says Iran's first nuclear power plant will be launched soon. Russia's nuclear chief told reporters that based on the schedule, the reactor in the southern city of Bushehr will be ready for work in August. Sergei Kiryenko also reiterated that the plant is in no way against the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. Meanwhile, top Russian MP Leonid Slutsky said possible new sanctions against Tehran should not have anything to do with the launch of the Bushehr reactor. In recent weeks, Washington has been pressuring Moscow and Beijing to get on board for new sanctions against Iran. However, On Tuesday, China's foreign ministry announced that it supported dialogue rather than punitive measures.
Iranian Foreign Minister Manoohar Motaki has renewed calls for the release of detained Iranian nationals in Italy. Motaki underscored that Tehran has called on Rome not to get involved in, quote, such a defeated game and immediately free the Iranian nationals. Italy arrested two Iranians on alleged armed trafficking charges in early March. Iran has condemned the arrests, saying they are politically motivated.
Well, representatives of former Iraqi Premier Iyad Alawi's Iraqiya coalition are in Tehran for an official visit. Iraq's Deputy Prime Minister Rafael Essaoui is heading the delegation. Essaoui said the visit aims to promote ties with Iran and clarify the upcoming Iraqi government's foreign policy. He said the trip has nothing to do with the establishment of a new Iraqi government. Essaoui made the comments after a meeting with Iran's Parliament Speaker Ali Larijani and Supreme National Security Council Secretary Saeed Jalili. Larijani said a stable and peaceful Iraq is beneficial for all the countries in the region.
Press TV's correspondent in Iraq has cited the country's interior ministry as denying that al-Qaeda plotted to attack Shia holy sites. The denial comes after reports that security forces have foiled a 9/11-style strike by the al-Qaeda's local offshoot. Defense Ministry has also denied the reports. Forces said they had arrested two men in connection with the plan. According to reports, the terrorists were to hijack aircraft targeting the holy shrines. Earlier, a U.S. counterterrorism official had confirmed the reports. The remarks came after an airport in Najaf, south of the capital, Baghdad, that is, was closed on April the 7th. Officials say the airport is expected to reopen soon.
Israeli forces have demolished two Palestinian homes in the West Bank. The demolitions in the villages of Khadr and Haris have left nine Palestinians homeless. The Israeli military claims the homes were built without permits. This comes shortly after reports revealed that a new Israeli military order may see thousands of Palestinians in the occupied West Bank evicted from their homes. The Palestinian Authority chief negotiator Saeb Erekat says Israel has become an apartheid regime, ruining hopes of a two-state solution. 10 Israeli rights groups have also slammed the order that would see the West Bank vacated of almost all its Palestinian inhabitants. The Hamokid Center, which brought the news to public attention, has urged the international community to take immediate action to force Tel Aviv to revoke the order.
A group of Israeli settlers attacked the Palestinian village that is of Hawara. That's to the north of the West Bank, of course. They vandalized a mosque after storming the area early in the morning. Sari Al-Khalili now reports.
For the second time in less than a year, Israeli settlers vandalized the Palestinian mosque in the West Bank. People of the Hawara village said settlers from the nearby Yetzhar settlement ascended upon the village on Wednesday and sprayed graffiti, including racist slogans, across the Bilal bin Rabah mosque. Three cars outside the mosque were burned, and more than 300 olive trees uprooted. The Israeli police confirmed the incident occurred and said it was being investigated. The attack comes months after a mosque in the West Bank village of Yasuf was hit by an arson attack.
This is not the first time the settlers of Yitzhar have attacked our village. A month ago they set fire to our vehicles.
Shortly after this interview, we met Rabbi Arik Asherman from the Rabbis for Human Rights group, who visited the Hawara Mosque. Arik slammed the attack and accused the settlers of damaging the image of Judaism.
These kinds of inflammatory acts, like to come and desecrate a mosque, something as a rabbi I have to say is so despicable, is what we call Chilul Hashem, a desecration of God's name, are clearly intended to bring things to the boiling point, because as sick as it may seem, some people feel that a situation where violence erupts is actually in their interest because it prevents the peace process.
Around 500,000 Israeli settlers live in the West Bank and East Jerusalem Al-Quds settlements, which are illegal under international law. The settlers consume the Palestinian share of natural resources, most importantly water, and dump their waste in the Palestinian farmland.
Human rights groups say Israel is showing no interest to put an end to the settlers' violence in the West Bank. The groups have repeatedly reported that Israeli police have backed the settlers during their attacks, with no enforcement measures taken to hold perpetrators accountable for their actions. Sari Al-Khalili, Press TV, Nablus.
It is 3:15 in the morning here in Tehran. A quick reminder of our top stories this hour. The U.S. Federal Reserve Chairman cautions congressmen against the gaping deficit. China's quake rescuers face a chilly night as the death toll near 600. And Iran demands objective guarantees for a nuclear fuel swap.
That to put the fuel under the supervision and the custody of the IAEA in Iran.